Hi, morning everyone. Welcome to the Beach Business Breakfast Show. This morning we have Annette from One Agency. How are you, Annette?
Excellent.
Fantastic. Annette's got the Hawaiian shirt over the top today because it is winter and it's a bit cool. The sun's out, it's nice.
Got our thermals on.
Yeah, so just a reminder, Beach Business Breakfast, third Thursday of every month at Merriweather Surf Club Function Room. $10 gets you great informal networking, the opportunity to meet other business people. So go to beachbusinessbreakfast.com.au. And just a reminder, if there is a dolphin or whale spotted, we will have a quick pan of the camera to take it in. We did see a whale here this morning, but he seems to have disappeared, either underwater or up north. So Annette, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
No, that's right. Fantastic. So with One Agency, what sort of led to that? What did you do before you became One Agency?
Yeah. Before I became One Agency, I was actually working with another franchise.
Okay.
And what I found working in the industry is that things have changed.
Massively.
This is real estate, right?
Yeah.
So One Agency is a real estate.
Yeah, that's right. And One Agency is a little bit different to most other real estate businesses in so much that it is not a franchise and it's not an independent. It's kind of like a hybrid of both. So it looks like a franchise, but it behaves like an independent, which means
so a bit more flexibility.
Much more flexibility, which is what I liked. I found that working for a franchise, I was just, you know, I felt like my hands were cuffed. And I felt like I couldn't give the service that I wanted to give to my clients. And I couldn't do what I wanted to do. I wasn't even allowed to brand myself. And so I found that really, really difficult to make relationships and bond with people. And especially since I had moved into the area or back to Newcastle. And so, the opportunity came up and I decided to take the leap.
So how long have you been in real estate for?
Well, in real estate terms, not that long really. Especially considering my age. About 6 years.
Okay, cool. So start early 20s.
Straight out of high school.
So what did you do before real estate?
What haven't I done?
I'd say most of us, you've had a lot of careers. So tell us about all of them.
Briefly. I would be here forever if I told you all of them. But, you know, in a nutshell, I guess finance and accounting was where I started. I moved into sales and marketing after that. I've worked for newspaper, radio, television. I was a catwalk model. I've done commercials for television.
Accountant, catwalk model, real estate.
We might need some advice on that because I think that's probably the natural next step for us.
Absolutely.
We're the sort of following this.
Absolutely, I'm the best teacher.
Okay, cool. We might
take up on that. Give me some detail, like what's something that you can do now you're in One Agency that you couldn't do as part of franchise? Like, so One Agency give you some sort of framework, I suppose, or sort of back
into a franchise, you have to conform. You have to do what everybody else is doing because that's the way that they do it in a franchise. If you think about McDonald's, you know, like it doesn't matter whether you go to McDonald's here, in Sydney, the Gold Coast, it's supposed to be the same.
It's consistent.
You're not putting falafels on the menu without McDonald's permission, basically.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, in my One Agency business, I can treat my business and my clients any way that I choose. The only guides that we have is our marketing. And our brand is really strong. People love it.
So how many One Agencies are there around the place?
I think there's about 200.
About 200.
In every state and territory in Australia, and we've just launched into New Zealand as well.
Okay, excellent. So it takes back to the finance and accounting. How did you sort of get into that? Was that...
I was good at numbers at school.
Okay, excellent. So was that straight from school or straight from uni, or was that...
Yeah, from school.
Yeah.
Okay. I was kind of a dropout.
Yeah, that's cool. We've all done that.
Is it the internet, I guess, is certainly changed real estate in some big ways. Is that what also that enables you to be quite independent in that way, that you don't need 16 people on phones and an office on the main street and like little pretty pictures in windows and things? Like you've got the ability to be, like, let's call it freelance real estate agent or something.
Absolutely. We are the ultimate online business.
Because people, they go to realestate.com or whatever to look for a property, in Australia at least anyway. And so as long as you've got them on there, I mean, people, do they know what a newspaper is anymore?
Or? They do. And, you know, there's a misconception that, you know, that doesn't exist anymore, or that it's like become a dinosaur, but it really hasn't.
I think it must be only real estate agents are propping up newspapers. So.
and car
well,
dealers.
I can tell you that I actually worked in real estate section of the newspaper. I sold real estate advertising.
Okay.
So I have an associate diploma in marketing as well, which also helps when I'm working with my clients. And so I used to go out and teach and train real estate agents how to market property. Because most of us are not taught that in our certificate or our license.
And yeah, it's all theoretical rather than
You need to have it. You know, I believe the two strongest points in a real estate agent is to be able to be a marketeer and to be able to be a negotiator.
Yeah.
They're the two most important things as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, cool. So finance and accounting, and then what, TV? So you did a bit of TV?
Oh, well, I did modelling in the background always. So from the time I was a teen, I entered the Miss Australia Quest. And I got so much out of it, I did it for 3 years.
Excellent, that's good.
Because I used to be so shy that I would hide behind a telegraph pole.
Wow,
I wouldn't know how to talk to people. Now look at me.
Miss Australia Quest must have been a bit of an experience.
It was phenomenal. It was really great. And we had some chaperones here in Newcastle that really looked after us and you know, showed us the ropes, so it was great. It was really, really a fantastic experience. And you know, back in those days, you know, there were such things as finishing schools for young ladies and things like
deportment,
sort of how to hold yourself, how to talk, and those kinds of things. And I think that's lacking in today's society, really.
Like preparing people for life.
You know, I mean, we don't seem to have very many manners these days.
It's a concern, I suppose.
I guess we
always complain about the generations after us, I suppose, as well. But
And the generation before us complained about our manners,
That's right. We're all different. We've all got something to offer.
But I do like the idea that your the Miss Universe Talent Quest, whatever sort of framework that was, that provided a personal development course for you.
It's not just
there is a component of, oh, look at me, I'm so beautiful, but there's also learning to speak and
it
present.
It wasn't that for me at all, because I was shy and I never believed that I was beautiful. I didn't think about my looks at all. And so for me, it was all about raising funds for the Spastic Centre.
It was a lot about charity things, aren't they?
Charity driven. Yeah, absolutely. It was all about, and that's what the Miss Australia Quest was all about, was to gain awareness for Spastic Centre.
It was a bit more legitimate than,
Cool. And it really did, for me personally, it gave me so much confidence that it enabled me to take the next step. And that's how I got into modelling, because the chaperones who looked after the entrance were actually a model agency as well.
And so I think that's where I missed out, actually, having that sort of chaperone to break into modelling. Like, obviously had the talent, but probably not.
It's still time, don't you? A surf hand model or something. Like, you could have your hand could be on the side of a surfboard.
I could be like a brand ambassador for whoever was before the baby boomers. Like the 60 and 70 year olds. We'll have that as a side project, I think. So with one agency, how do you guys go about getting your clients? Like, obviously, like word of mouth in real estate works quite well, but so, you know, the first day you started, what did you, you're at your desk and you got a phone there and you're going, okay.
That's right. The first day was a bit daunting, actually, because I was so used to having a zillion emails come into my inbox, and my first day sitting, there was nothing. Send, receive, absolutely nothing.
Because
when I left the franchise company that I was working with, I had a very, very strict restriction of trade. And it was a 7.5K radius of Charlestown, which is just about all of Newcastle. And it was for 9 months. So basically, I started with no database. No contacts. I'd moved back to Newcastle mm-hmm. after having left for 28 years.
Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, you're outside of it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I did start the business from absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing
did you
all.
Like call or what did you do?
It was just
you didn't go
about,
down the main street and cry or anything.
It was just about getting that first listing,
yeah, yeah. Okay.
Which
yeah.
was a friend of a friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. The second mm-hmm. listing was my own on the Central Coast,
yeah, good. Yep.
which I drove down to show and yeah. sell.
Yeah.
Lucky for me, it sold straight away.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yep.
And then as that happens, people gain confidence in you and
yeah.
and then you're away. And
yeah,
you just
start referring
next one,
on
next
and
one.
So
yeah.
that sort of thing.
So yep. I did a lot of networking, like what you guys mm-hmm. provide here at the Breakfast yeah. Club. Mm-hmm. And so I did networking, so
yeah.
that everyone knew my face, my name, my telephone number, how to get in contact with
yeah.
me, and
yeah.
they just kept on seeing me.
Yeah.
And I kept on telling my story.
Yeah.
And, you know, like...
Once incremental exposure then, so over time.
Yeah.
And thing is, like, a house, you don't usually wake up and go, oh, I'll sell my house today. So there, you do have a lead time of...
Yes.
Years,
yeah, or yes. or whatever. Yeah.
If you said to Dave, I'm a real estate agent, he'd be like, that's good. And then in 4 years' time, he sells his house. It's not like you're going to get a quick return necessarily.
No, that's right.
If you turn
that's right.
talk to enough people.
So that's why it's really important to build up that database of people to talk to.
Yeah. So with your networking you do you sort of link in with particular partners that you're referred to business to and from, or those
yes.
sort of things?
Yeah, so yep. you know, like I have now I've got a lady who works in retirement villages.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
She has probably given me maybe 15 or 20 referrals.
Yep.
In the
that's
last
from people selling their
okay.
house to move into retirement.
Wow. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
In the last maybe 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a lot of referrals
yeah.
in the last
that's
3 months, and
yeah.
which have I've sold seven.
Yeah.
You know, brought
wow.
seven to the market and sold
yeah.
seven.
Yeah.
So you know, like that's a great source for me. Conveyances. There's a conveyancer at a very very large well known company, and she put me in contact with her father. I mean, that's such that speaks volumes of. I'm very humble.
Yeah,
you
no,
know,
that's good.
To think that out of all the real estate agents that she would be dealing with in Newcastle, that she's chosen me to work with her dad.
Yeah,
and her dad was really happy with me as well.
Yeah.
So you know, like accountants, anyone who is really in touch with people who are moving for whatever
do you
reason.
Sort of like any fantastic mortgage brokers. You have any sort of or website designers or. That you link in with, like us. We're allowed one shameless plug per episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do have a mortgage broker that I work with, but it hasn't. I've probably given more business to her than what she's given to me.
Yeah.
More likely, perhaps you're. There's always that challenge when the referral partnership, the lead in starts at. Kind of one person's side more often than the other, I suppose. Mm.
Well,
it?
I guess what can happen is that, you know, like she may have someone who is selling a home, so she refers it to a conveyancer, but then that conveyancer sends it on to somebody else and not me. That's right.
So we get your newsletter, which is fantastic, and your weekly open home list.
Yes.
And you do seem to have a range of stock, like you have like some people focus like on off the plan or house and land or a particular area, but you seem to have
a very wide variety.
Yeah,
and I also work a very large area as well. And the reason being is because all of my business is referral.
All of it. Yeah. Yeah.
You don't see me plastered on a billboard anywhere. Mm. You won't even see my car sign written, or I don't even have, you know, fancy number plates or anything.
Yeah.
I won't be on a bus shelter anywhere.
Cross
savings.
My business is very profitable, I can tell you, because my costs are very low.
Yeah.
My costs are very,
that's what
very
Jerry
low.
Harvey or Jerry Harvey always said, a dollar saved is a dollar earned.
Yeah, you know, he used to have his shoes resoldered rather than go out and buy a new pair.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's good. So, mate, you do a lot of internet. You do what other things do you do?
I use a lot of video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I do things differently to most agents in Newcastle.
Of your properties or of you?
Yeah. Well, I'm in that. It's kind of like watching the news, but you get the presenter at the same time.
Yeah.
So
yeah, cool.
You know.
So
like,
do you do that for, you know, say,
every single property.
So yeah, 10 or 15 years ago, it became like, you had like the video of the house and that sort of stuff, and you go on the people's website and click and you can see what the bathroom looks like and that sort of stuff. Do you do like the Selling Houses Australia type tour of the house where you talk about the house? Is that what you do with your videos, or what do you
basically
do?
Basically, but it's more about the lifestyle of living in that property in that area, because that's what you don't get from
just
words.
Pictures.
So you're
pictures,
talking about down the road is the beach or the school, or there's a cycleway just around the corner. Mm.
My last video was actually shot on this beach.
Okay,
right.
Yeah, because I've just listed a property, a 2-bedroom unit in Merriweather.
Okay.
So my last video was downstairs having a coffee.
Yeah, right.
Excellent.
And saying, you know, like, what a magic part of the world. Mm. Wouldn't you want to be a part of this?
Yeah. Mm. Well, no, we weren't available that day. Being like the stars.
It could have been your step into.
Yeah, no, that's good. So do you film them yourselves, or how do you do that? Do you
have someone? I have a professional videographer that does that for me.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Production standards.
Nice.
Absolutely. Nothing but the best.
Yeah.
So what does it take to be a outstanding real estate agent? Like, what makes people keep coming back?
I think you just need to do what you say you're going to do. Mm. You know, like, I mean, it's all about, I think actions speak louder than words, and it's all about making sure that you do the tasks in order to get the result.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a very big picture. So you say to someone, I am going to do a video of your house or of your area or whatever, and then it's ready the next week and the person goes, oh, there's a video that you promised. Is that...
It is all part and parcel of it. It's all about communication, I guess. Number one thing.
Yeah.
Most people want to know daily what's happening on their property.
Yeah.
What's
so do you do that
now,
with like phone, SMS, email, or
combination
mixture?
Of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it depends on the person. Sometimes they're only contactable by SMS or email.
Yeah.
You know, like I've worked with, you know, very busy people who run, you know, conglomerates, and it's very difficult to be able to get a hold of them.
Yeah, it's similar for like mortgages. We do similar, you know, different stages where it's up to an SMS seems to work or an email.
Yeah.
It's very hard. Like, you ring people, but often.
So it's not just like get the best price. Or like that. Everybody's just like, you have to get them the most money possible.
Well, the most money may not necessarily be the best buyer.
Okay. Do you want to explain?
Okay, so I might have two people offering on the same property.
Yep.
And one comes in $10,000 higher than the other one, but the other one is a cash, doesn't have a mortgage or anything.
Yeah, or a finance pre-approved
or can
waive the cooling off period or that sort of stuff.
So one of them is more likely to complete than the other kind of thing, is that?
And faster.
Yeah.
So it's up to the owners which buyer they want to take, and they may perceive that the lower amount is the best buyer for them.
Okay. Yeah, the less stress option.
Yeah. So, by connection, that means if you have a suitcase full of cash, you can buy a house faster for cheaper, probably.
Probably.
Unless you're waiting for a home loan. I guess. So what you're saying is that it depends on if they're happy to sit and wait for a month or two to get the person who's prepared now another $5,000, then that's their prerogative, sort of thing.
Well, once again, there's a lot of factors that go into that. I mean, to get an extra $5,000, if the seller has got pressure somewhere else, if they've got costs, if they've got
like
pain somewhere,
waiting for
$5,000 may be the wrong thing to do for them.
Yeah.
So it's varied. Not one single sale is the same.
Yeah.
Not one single client is the same. Mm. They're all individuals, and you have to treat them as it happens.
Yeah, right.
So what's your view with auction versus private treaty? Do you have a preference either way, or do you do both?
I do both, but I personally find that the auctions that I have, I sell before the auction anyway.
Yeah.
so... Yeah. you know, like the owners are more than happy to accept
yeah.
an offer that comes in.
For sure, yeah.
And we do it under auction conditions.
Yep, yep.
So it gets the same result much faster.
Yeah.
So, you know, like...
running a public auction if you get the same outcome from just letting people make tell you what they want to pay sort of thing, so.
Well, there's different properties that are better for auction than others as well.
Yeah.
So you've got to be... So like a celebrity property or something, like you're not going to do an auction for like a little 3-bedroom house in a development somewhere, are you? I mean,
well, probably not in a development like, where there's a dozen of them all the same. But an ideal situation would have been something that I had last year. It was a little 3-bedroom property out at Spears Point, and it was inhabitable. Its roof was leaking.
Yeah, that's standard.
Yeah, I know.
So it'd be perfect for student accommodation.
ready for the bulldozer.
Yeah.
Well, it was hard because it was like a heritage. It wasn't a heritage home, but it had a lot of character, and it was a beautiful. It was on a beautiful block.
Yeah.
You know, it was probably the best block in the street, but the worst house in the street. You know, sort of thing. So it was hard to say, but the seller, and this was a property that I really felt should have gone to auction.
Yeah.
And but the owner said, no, we hate auction. We don't want anything to do with it. We don't believe in it. We, you know, they didn't even like real estate agents.
Yeah. Well, it does create a bit of extra sort of like interference, I suppose, as the person with the house.
Well, there's lots of pros and cons about auctions. Great things about auctions is that, you know, like it creates competition.
And it has a sort of a final date. You know, everything sort of builds to that.
You sort of need an interesting property
within 30 days.
Worth doing, right?
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. But what happened on this property, I'll just go back to the one at Spears Point.
Yeah.
First open home. So I launched it to the market on the Thursday, and by Saturday I had 300 people inspect the property.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, you mean like online?
In 3 days.
No. They'll walk through it.
Walk through the property.
Yeah. 300 people.
Yeah,
in
that's
3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crikey. It should have been an auction.
Yeah, that's an auction.
That seems
definitely
busy.
It should have been an auction.
It's definitely an auction, yeah.
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 Is it too late to turn into an auction after someone's decided to make
it
a sale?
No, it's not. Mm. But yeah, the owners were adamant that they didn't want an auction.
Oh, yeah, that's their choice, isn't it?
And we did actually end up selling it for, I can't remember now, but I think it was something like 50,000 more than what the asking price was anyway.
So they're probably laughing anyway.
They're ecstatic.
Yeah. So we've had the changes with price guides and that sort of thing that came in.
Yeah.
Now that you've got to give a price guide. How are you finding that? Is that
to give a price guide.
Okay.
You don't have to give a price at all.
So it can be price on application or
I
noticed a couple of, I think it might have been some of yours you've done by tender.
How's
that work?
Two properties done by tender.
Yeah.
The first property sold just after tender.
Yeah.
Like
so is that
think
where?
It was the
so
next
is that
day.
How, yeah, how does that work?
So it's kind of like a silent auction, really.
Okay.
Yeah. Because what happens is that you like the property,
people are tendering to buy the property.
Yeah. And so what they do is they fill out their tender documents. They put it into an envelope sealed. Mm-hmm. So I don't even get to see it.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't even know what it is.
Yeah.
And then it goes into the tender box.
Yeah.
They can actually ask me if they want it presented straight away.
Yep.
So you can actually ask for the tender to be presented straight away.
Okay.
Or you just wait until the tender date.
Yeah.
And
what sort
I
of
take
time
the box
how,
over.
What sort of time
usually
frame
3 weeks.
3 weeks, okay. Yep. Yep.
So then I take the tender box to the clients,
mm-hmm.
unlock it.
Yep.
They open all the envelopes.
Yeah.
And they choose.
So it's a sort of silent auction, I guess.
Well, it's like an auction without having the stress.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, or some guy screaming his head off.
Sometimes properties will have like PI, price on application, on them. So what's the motivation? Like, is that because you just don't know what it's worth? Or
it could be, yeah.
Like,
or
they're usually
unusual there's a few
sort of
reasons.
Properties, I suppose, or like big, expensive properties?
Could be. It might be a property that, for example, is... There are no comparables to give you any idea.
You can't benchmark it
quite
extreme.
No, because it's different or it has something that's unique about it or it's maybe far more expensive than anything that's been sold
eight-figure prices or something.
Well, it sometimes they'll do a price on application because they just don't know. They've got an idea of where it may be.
Yeah.
Another reason why they may do price on application is because the seller wants too much money for it. The agent has said it's going to be from here to here,
yeah.
but then the sellers want right up here. So they say, well, look, why don't we do a price on application
the market
first
too high,
yeah.
and get the feedback as to what people are saying, and then you can decide to continue on and readjust your thinking or perhaps take it off the market because...
Like testing to see what it might be worth. Sort of.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So what's the best business advice you've been given in your years in the different things you've been doing?
The best business advice is actually something that comes back to, you know, the people that we are, and it's a saying that a businessman told me while I was working at the radio station.
Yeah.
And he said, great minds discuss ideas, mediocre minds discuss events, and small minds discuss others.
Okay. That's good. Good advice. That's a thing that's always sort of be out there trying to push the envelope, isn't it? You know, trying to come up with
new ideas,
you different know, ways like of doing things, testing, trying new things, and you know, if they work, great.
Yeah.
And if they don't, well, you go, well.
Not every idea is going to be fantastic and wonderful, but you know, like
find the good ones.
It might. Well, you might have 100 ideas, but only one of them's any good.
Yeah. And I think it's also just to sort of, you know, surround yourself with good people positive people who have lots of ideas as well. And
And I think when you do that, business automatically, you know, generates.
Oh, that's great. That's been good. Yeah. So,
thank you.
Excellent.
It's been interesting.
Very good. Probably one of our longest ones ever. That was great. Plus, I'm not sure Emily was due next, but she hasn't turned up yet. So we could maybe do this in two parts, Jeremy.
We'll come back to you part two.
Yeah, part two. Yeah,
you're going to teach us how to sell a property next.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, no, thanks for that, Nick. Thanks for joining us. So just a reminder about the Beach Business Breakfast, third Thursday of every month. 7:30 to 8:30, $10 gets you great informal networking and hang around with amazing business people like us and all the other members that turn up. I think we had 54 at our last event, which was fantastic. So our aim is for Christmas event, December, to be on the beach all in Hawaiian shirts. So we want to have as many people here as possible. More, 100 would be great.
Yeah.
So that's great. So thanks again, Annette. You have a great day.
Thank you so much for having me on the program.
You're the top person. Always have a great day. I know that, just like us.
Yes.
So thanks for that, and we'll see you all soon.
Bye.